Thank you, guys. Wasn't last week a hoot? It was a lot of fun. It was fun to hear the testimonies of the kids that went up to the retreat. It was fun to hear the testimonies of those that were involved. I'm excited about where our youth are going. Amen? And I want us to continue to encourage them. Remember, Kelsey needs help. Clyde needs help. And there's a lot of different ways that we can help. And no one's asking anyone to carry the whole ball. They're asking people just to grab a corner of it. And many hands make for a light load. Yeah. I was especially fond of the little preacher in the end. Just saying. Hey, this morning I want to start by talking about a very romantic love story. Now, all right. My wife and I, we love to watch Hallmark movies. Just saying, guys, sorry. Just saying, love it. But I want to share out of the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon, just something interesting. So turn with me, if you would, to chapter 2. To the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon. Here we have, just kind of setting the story up. Here we have, give you some context here. Here we have apparently Solomon, who is speaking to this beautiful young lady, and he is wooing her heart. Gentlemen, how many of you wooed your wife's heart? Oh, come on, guys. I want to read through this quickly, but I have a point to make in this entire sermon. Now listen to the words. This is really, really, really a very tender and romantic set of words. It says, starting in verse 8, chapter 2, "Listen, my beloved, look, here he comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills." This is the woman looking out, watching. "My beloved is like a gazelle, a young stag. Look, there he stands behind her wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. My beloved spoke and said to me, 'Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The seasons of singing has come. The cooing of the doves is heard in our land.'" Sounds like springtime, doesn't it? He's saying to this beautiful young lady, come on outside into this beautiful, beautiful sunshiny day. And then he goes on to say, "The fig trees form its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me." Wow. Can you feel it? But then down in verse 15, something really weird happens. All of a sudden, it may seem strange that in the middle of this romantic, tender conversation, the matter of a fox hunt should arise. As with much of this imagery in this incredibly beautiful, poetic book, the foxes are symbolic. The speaker says in 2:15, "Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." Interesting. So the scripture reveals to us that the intent of the foxes was to destroy the vines. You know, Solomon's readers understood and considered foxes to be destructive animals that could do incredibly devastating damage to the valuable vineyards that they had. They knew this. He was writing this right to them. They understood what the foxes meant. They're cunning. They're sly. And they love to get in. They just peck little things here and there. And they just peck away and chip away and eat away at little things. And pretty soon the vineyard begins to be destroyed and it begins to die. So in looking at this, one could come to the conclusion that the foxes represent the potential problems that could damage the relationship prior to the marriage, which happens over in chapter 5. So the command in essence is this: take preventive measures. Take preventive measures to protect this love from anything that could harm it. Amen? Okay, let's move on. Turn with me to Luke chapter 13. This is kind of going to be where we're going to drill down. On that very day, some Pharisees came saying to him, "Get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." So here's Jesus on his journey to Jerusalem, and they're saying, "You got to get out of here. Depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and I perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected.'" Jesus is calling Herod a fox. Why is Jesus calling Herod a fox? Well, if you know anything about Herod, he was wickedly cunning. He was dastardly. He was underhanded. He was ruthless. He would do anything to set himself up to be the victor. Anything. He was ruthless. So Jesus called him a fox. In John 2:24, the Bible says that Jesus knows the hearts of all men. That means that he knew the hearts of everyone standing there, including Herod. And he knew that the intentions of Herod's heart was to destroy the work of God by killing him. He knew that. And in John 15, later on in John 15, verse 1, it says, Jesus says that I am the true vine and that my Father is the vine dresser. So from these scriptures alone, I think we could conclude that Herod is the fox that's wanting to kill Jesus because Jesus is the vine which is grown by the Father. Amen? So we could also conclude that Herod's heart intentions made him that fox. The evil in his heart was to kill the work that God was performing through Jesus. Who does Jesus work through today? He works through us. So in this moment that we're in history, listen, a lot of foxes have come out of the holes to cause chaos in the church and in the lives of others and in the lives of people all around this country. Little foxes come out. Their sole purpose is to spoil the vines. Their sole purpose is to spoil the vines so bad that no good fruit can grow. How many have felt like foxes have been nibbling away at you? Clip, clip, clip. When I'm speaking to the right crowd. But you got to know this. Jesus had no fear of any man, nor could he. He would deliver himself up when he willed to do so. And that moment was to come soon because he said, "Behold, I cast out demons and I perform cures today." In other words, I perform miracles. I'm laying hands on this. I'm doing the work, guys. And he goes on to say, "And the third day, I shall be perfected." So he's saying, hey, I'm going to continue to cast out devils. I'm going to continue to cure the ill, to lay hands on the sick, to see the captives set free. I'm paraphrasing here. Until my Father says it's time. And then Jesus continues in Luke 13, verse 33. He says, "Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, because it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem." God ordained this from the beginning of time. He had a redemptive plan for all of mankind. And it was only going to happen on his schedule. And there was no way Herod or any of the foxes could mess with it. It wasn't going to happen. So the word "walk" here, it is Hebraism. And it's kind of a Hebrew expression. And this word can be used to mean to work. So it's as if Jesus were saying, "Look, you Pharisees, you're trying to make me afraid of Herod? Are you kidding me? I am not. And I'm not afraid of you either." I'm sure they were little foxes themselves. If they had their way, they would have taken Jesus quickly. But they knew they didn't want to mess with what was going on in front of them. Jesus goes on to say, I believe what he's saying here is, "When I finish my work of the gospel, then and only then will I go to Jerusalem. And will my work be consummated there? Because my Father has so ordained it." Many of you have callings on your life. And the little foxes are trying to stop you from walking into your callings. I'm telling you, that ain't going to happen. If you stand strong in this moment, resist those little nibbling away by the foxes, know this, that God has ordained your plans. And unless you throw in the towel, it's not going to be over until he says it's over. Know that, okay? Know that. It's interesting to note that the Apostle Paul, he described the people at Ephesus who stood against the gospel of Christ as brute beasts. As brute beasts. That's some pretty heavy language. In 1 Corinthians 5:32, he says, I have fought with the beasts at Ephesus. Now, what he's doing is referring to Demetrius and his entourage. These were these people who were stirring up all kinds of commotion concerning Christianity and Jesus and the cross and all of that. These were little foxes. These foxes were seeking to destroy the vine. All around us, I don't know if you've ever caught it, I don't know how long you've been walking with Jesus, but you'll notice that there are those naysayers that come alongside you and challenge what you're saying. They want to challenge everything you're doing. They want to say, you know, that may be nice, but come on. Those are the little foxes trying to eat away at what you believe and what you're holding on to. As Christians in these times, we need to be alert to the foxes that are sent by the enemy. Really, this is the time, if there ever was, to be alert. It's in this moment. And these little foxes have come out again to destroy the work of God in the church and in our lives and in our country. You know, many like Herod and many more shall rise in the power of the enemy to try to destroy us. And this is where we have to stay vigilant. We have to stay on what? On watch. Amen? And this is where, too, I'll add, we need to watch out for each other. We do. Here's my main point, guys. Right now, I believe there are foxes that are circling the camp. You know, there seems to be many voices in this moment that are driven by this desperate need to console weary Christians. They're saying things like, just do as you're told, and you'll be okay. Just sit down, relax, let us take care of this. Be quiet. Don't speak up too loud. They're telling us, or giving off this notion that we're about to be relieved and we're no longer in this wartime mode. And that we're moving closer to returning to a peacetime church culture. That ain't ever going to happen again. Not only are they wrong, I believe if you listen to that message long enough, that you're going to open yourself up to an attack of the enemy like you've never known before. And I believe it's kind of like Revelation 10:9. It says, their words may be sweet to the taste, but in the end they will be bitter in your stomach. Don't buy into this. Everything's going to be fine. Just sit down. In fact, you could just stay home and be quiet and read your Bible all alone. Just go there. But I'm telling you guys, don't let those voices, don't let those foxes distract you from your calling. You know, we are in a spiritual war. I know you guys know that. You guys are, man, you guys rock it in that department. You know there's a spiritual battle going on. And as Christians, and I'll add as patriots, we must become united in this spiritual battle and work together. We must work towards unity as we push this darkness back. I think the most important thing that you can impress upon a soldier is the reality of the threat. You got that? You know, there's no way around it, guys. We must have the truth drilled into our hearts. And the truth is, we are facing a long, hard road. But we were wired for this. We were created for such a time as this because we carry in us something amazing that's going to help us navigate these waters. I think we in the American church, we don't need little pats on the head. What we need right now is we need voices that will raise our morale. We need people to come alongside of us and say, you've got this. And I know we have a bad day at Black Rock. All of us have those moments. And we need people to come alongside us and encourage our hearts. We need that. I get that. I need that. I get phone calls from a lot of people that are struggling. I get that. And I want to support and encourage them. But guys, I need your help in this too. You know, we carry in us something that's so amazing that when we stand next to people, they should feel the Spirit of God within us, and that alone should encourage their hearts. Amen? You know, in the book of Psalms, Psalms 42, you can read it. I encourage you to read it on your own. But it's a powerful moment where God and his word through the lens of David's eyes gives us these tools that help us cope in these moments when everything is pressing down on us. If anyone got oppressed, if anyone was pushed down, if anyone went through the ringer, it was David. You know, he went in the wilderness as a young man and he came out a man ready to lead an army. He went in as a young boy, but he came out a man ready to. And during that time, you guys have read the book of, you know, the fights in the history of David and everything that went on. It was brutal. During times of great stress, we read in Psalms where he's pursued by his enemies, he's hiding in caves, that David was able to cry out to God from the depths of his heart. And David, he was able to verbalize his trust in the faithfulness of God to deliver. Do you know this? David verbalized his utterance and his utter dependence in the only one that was able to save him was always on his lips. Father, you and you alone can save me in this moment. He knew that. And he always leaned into that. In Psalms, we read, if you've studied it at all, we read David would speak to himself for a while. And in that place, he would speak to the depths of his being, reminding himself of the mercies and of the greatness and of the goodness of God. And he would command his soul to bless the Lord. He would say, soul, bless the Lord. Come on, soul, stand up. You got this. You can do this. And he would strengthen himself in the Lord. You got this, guys. You can do this in this moment. Strengthen yourselves in the Lord. And if you watch David, after he strengthened himself in the Lord, he went out and he swung for the fences and always hit a home run. Amen? You know, hundreds of pulpits, I believe in this moment, seem to believe that this message of consolation is what is needed in this hour. That we're here to just console. I'm here to make you guys feel good. It's all going to be okay. I don't think this is what we need. I think we don't need comfort as much as we need to get fired up. We need the white hot righteous anger of a people who will not go into the gentle dark of the night of our current woke culture. Ugh. Now is not the time to hesitate. Now is not the time to surrender. Now is not the time to give in. Now is not the time to say, I'm just going to take my football and go home. I'm just going to go to the store for a carton of milk and not come back. This is not that moment. You know, our answer to this current woke culture needs to be no. Now listen, no, we do not accept the bitter bread of surrender or capitulation. No, you will not educate our children by wading them into a godless swamp. That ain't going to happen. No, you will not steal our small businesses nor our churches. It's not going to happen. No, you will not offer us as a living sacrifice to communist Marxism lies. We will not bow. We will not surrender. Not now, not ever. Because God's word says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You know, again, this is not the time for soothing lambs. I believe it's a time to be igniting lions. It's a time to say to the enemy, we have not yet begun to fight. Like Jesus said, go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons. I perform cures. Over here, our time has not come. We're over here laying hands on the sick, and we're seeing sick people healed. Healing is something I want to launch into in the coming weeks, because I think healing is going to be a huge, whether it's physically, spiritually, even financially, so many different ways we can be healed. And I want to launch into that because that's where my heart's going. Because when people begin to be healed and we hear the testimony of healings, something in us goes, yay, God! You know, our struggle for America and reaching the lost is not ending. I believe with all my heart we're in this season where it's just beginning. And the enemy needs to know that we are never, never going to go away. If you've ever read any of Winston Churchill's stories, one that I love is this quote. It says, this is the lesson. Never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 in nothing great or small, large or petty, yield. Never yield to force. Never yield to apparently overwhelmingly might of the enemy. Not now, not ever, never. Amen. You know, I think it's time that we realize we can arise. And let's watch God make something happen. Martin Barillo has this quote, and it's something along this lines. I'm not going to let the end times happen to me. I'm going to happen to the end times. Yeah. Wrapping this up. Get ready, Lewis. I'm convinced that we're moving into, I want to be practical. We can stand up here and go, yeah, yeah, yeah. But at the end of the day, what do I do? What do I do when I leave here? What can I do to make a difference? What do I do? My wife is always reminding me of that practical thing. And I love that. Let's be practical about this. What does that look like? How do we put handles on this? I am convinced with all my heart that we're to engage our time and our energy in two imperatives. Listen closely. Number one is political and moral actions. Yes, I said the P word in church. Now hear my heart. I will never tell you who to vote for. But I'm going to tell you, you should vote. Amen? You know, we need to organize and we need to educate ourselves on how to get involved in local elections and all the other stuff that's going on in our community. And we need to equip people to know why they believe what they believe and why they believe it. I believe it's time to learn how to have those hard conversations in those rooms of marble halls. And I got along with Max, and I talked to Max, and I said, Max, would you be willing to be one of the point men on this? Would you be the resource that could kind of direct people in different ways and how to get involved and how to write letters and how to petition and do this kind of stuff? And he said he would. So Max is going to be our go-to guy. If others want to step up and work with Max, talk to me, we'll hook it up. I just think it's important. You know, we're not trying to legislate morality as much as we're trying to stop immorality from happening. And it's happening at a quick pace. And it's up to us, I think, to stand in this moment. But number two, which I believe my personal burning passion for is this. We have a mandate to demonstrate the gospel with power. I'm really tired of a mamby-pamby, weak approach to the gospel. I want to see us lay hands on the sick, and I want to see them healed. Now, I know that healing's not up to us, it's up to God, but where is our faith really at in all this process? Is our faith really there, or is it kind of there? You know, I believe the healing miracles that we read that are all throughout the scripture are also for today. When the last apostle died, John, the process of miraculous things happening didn't end with him. They keep rolling forward. And many of you, like today, have experienced the power of God. But I want to see that experienced outside of this in the community around us. I want to see us set up community response teams. Let's get beyond. We can start getting out, folks. We can start going out into the community, folks. Let's get out there and create these community response teams. It could be almost like a home group team that goes into the community and works on different avenues of an expression of Jesus. It's simple. I think we could do that. But I need people that want to stand up and say, here I am. Here I am. I'll do this. I believe it's that we should spend a huge amount of our time and our energy winning souls and setting the captives free. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe, and I've always believed this, that people not only need Jesus, I believe that people want Jesus. You know, revival, guys, has been said that this is the surest way to transform the moral and political darkness in our country today, is a revival. But hear me, there will not be a revival if we don't go out and plant seeds. We have to be out planting seeds. If you're not planting seeds, you just throw some water on, well, maybe you get weeds, I don't know. But if you want tomatoes to grow, you better be planting tomatoes. We got to get out there and start planting seeds. Guys, this, I believe, is our greatest hour. And I believe, that this is part of a movement that will sweep across the nation. And I want to be part of that movement. I want to be part of a movement of God. I just don't want to sit here and be nice to everybody. That's part of it, but I want to see something big and epic happen. And I believe that we must not become weary in well-doing. And let me say, if you're becoming weary in well-doing, stop. It's okay. Catch your breath. It's all right. Reach out to someone around you and say, man, I'm really having a bad day. Will you pray for me? Yeah, I'm all in. I will pray for you. I'll come alongside you and help you walk through this moment in your life. But let's get up. Let's get going. Because the reality is, there's an enemy out there, and we got to take him out. You know this, guys. There's many foxes. Many foxes will rise in positions of power and influence all around us. And we need to be ready as individuals and as a church. As Jesus was about to go to Jerusalem and be crucified, we found that Herod the fox rose up to try to kill him in order to prevent Jesus from saving humanity. That's the truth. There are foxes, again, that want to prevent you, all of us, from fulfilling our purposes that God created us for. Guys, we need to stay alert. But I'm asking, who's up for a fox hunt? Let's stand. Lewis? Do you have a "Let's Go on a Fox Hunt" song? Just saying. Guys, I want to ask you this. Back to the Song of Solomon. You know, the whole point of stopping for a fox hunt in the middle of this incredibly romantic moment was, man, we got to take care of these things before we get there. Because they will destroy everything around us. The infrastructure will be eaten away. And I know that there's things in your life. It can be addictions. It can be habits and things that you know you need to be delivered from. You know that you shouldn't even be going there, but they're just pecking away. As Lewis begins to play, I have no idea. I kind of sprung this on him. Our fox hunting song. I would love for you to come forward. If you know there's been little foxes in your vineyard chewing away at different things and you want it to stop, and we want to pray with you and pray for you that would stop. Amen? Is he Googling? Fox hunt.
In here.
You do?
I don't.
Oh.
There might be.
Oh.
It's in Song of Solomon. One of my favorite books. How do we do this,
sir? Thank you, Jesus.
It feels like something like this might be in order. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. And I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.